Hello, and welcome to SoberCast, where we provide AA speaker meetings and workshops in podcast format. We're an ad-free podcast, and if you enjoy listening, please help us be self-supporting by visiting SoberCast.com, look for the donate link, and drop a dollar or two into our virtual basket. We hope you enjoy the podcast. Have a great day.
Welcome to the People Colors Countdown Workshop of Living Sober 2014. My name is Tony, and I'm an alcoholic.
My name is Gabrielle, and I am an alcoholic.
Hi, Gabrielle. Before we begin, please join me in a moment of silence followed by the Serenity Prayer. God, grant me the serenity to accept the things I cannot change, the courage to change the things I can, and the wisdom to know the difference. This is an open discussion workshop. My co-chair and I will qualify and share for less than 5 minutes each. And then the floor will be open for others to share, discussion, suggestions, and answers. Although this is not a typical meeting format, we ask that you be respectful of other people's views and opinions as outlined in Living Sober's policy of mutual respect. Also, we ask that you please limit your discussion to the workshop topic, and please keep your shares to 3 minutes or less. Would you like to start?
Sure. My name is Gabrielle. I'm an alcoholic. So when Tony asked me to do this about 3 minutes ago, I did not know I was going to be qualifying. Anyway, I'm really grateful to be here, and I'm excited to be able to participate in the People of Color Countdown. I always look forward to this every year, and I'm really glad to see everybody here. I feel like ever since I moved to the Bay Area, that a lot of you have been, paramount in my recovery. And then some of you I get to see once a year at this conference. So I'm just really grateful. And, what do I need to do, Tony? About 5 minutes or 3 minutes, 2 minutes? Okay. All right. So, or 30 seconds. I just celebrated a birthday. My recovery date is June 29th, 1992. And, thank you. And I came to Alcoholics Anonymous probably about 25 years ago, but I didn't stay sober. I was one of those people who needed to do a little more research and development. And eventually I did stay sober, and I stayed sober by coming to meetings. And I think the first time I went to a POC meeting exclusively, because in LA they don't call them POC meetings, it's just that everybody looks like us, you know. But here I guess they had to kind of, you know, identify us as POC. But anyway, I started going to meetings in LA. That's where I'm from. I also got a sponsor, had a couple sponsors, and I stuck really close to the program. And that's really how I was able to stay sober. I did a lot of service work. My first year, someone asked me to be their cake person. And I did it, you know, and it was like every Friday night I had a place to go, and that was normally like date night, right? So Friday night I'm going to Vons, and I would pick up this giant sheet cake to feed about 300 people, and all those people like knew my name, it seemed like, you know, and so that was something that made me feel good. It was like somebody knew my name, but it was in a positive way. It wasn't like, oh, Gabrielle, you know. We don't really want, and so, you know, it was a nice beginning, in recovery. And, you know, if you're new or old, I always tell people, you know, service definitely keeps us sober. And I learned how to make coffee here about 4 years ago. yeah, truly am a bachelorette. I learned how to make coffee at the Rock Ridge Fellowship. They needed a coffee person. Nancy gave up her commitment, and I stepped in, and I learned how to make coffee. So everything pretty much that I have, come to appreciate and grow from has happened through Alcoholics Anonymous. And, I just realized he was here. That's so beautiful. I didn't even know it. Keith, maybe you're right. Okay. So the other thing I wanted to say is that, if you guys that are single females, if you'd like to come to my workshop, not my workshop, but I'm going to be co-facilitating with somebody else or co-leading a workshop today at 3:30 right after this meeting, we'd love to have you. It's single in sobriety. So a little infomercial. It's in the book. It's in the book. I'm serious. I didn't make that up. You know, we might be talking about sex, so you know, you might want to come. No, I'm just kidding. But anyway, I'm delighted to be sober. And, I gotta tell you, you know, it hasn't been easy, but everything, like the first 5 years were amazing. You know, then the real, you know, stuff started coming up. You know, I started showing up. And, the real me came out, you know, one of my former sponsors is here. I just remembered that, so I can't really lie. But the truth is that, I've done a lot of growing in this room, in these rooms. And, you know, you guys knew me, like, most of you knew me like 10 or 12 years ago when I first moved here. And I think that I've done a lot of changing. And I had to in order to stay here, because I have been absolutely mad crazy in recovery. And, maybe that really wasn't even recovery. Maybe that was just being dry and being in the rooms. But I think that, you know, when things start to fall apart, you know, like either a job loss or a love loss, you know, there's something about being right sized. Like, I feel like they say alcohol is like the equalizer, you know, for all of us, because that's sort of, is that right? The equalizer? Or it's the thing that, it's the sort of like the grand equalizer. It's the thing that brought us all together. But I think the most, you know, the things that could be the things that take me out, like the devastation and the loss, are the things that made me stronger. And, you know, it's been a, like Langston Hughes said, you know, about the crystal stairway, you know, it's, my life hasn't been a crystal stairway. And, you know, if it had been, I probably wouldn't be here. So, I'm just really, you know, like I said, grateful for my recovery. And with that, I'm going to wrap up. And thank you, Tony, for asking me to be your co. Appreciate it.
Hi, group. I'm a grateful alcoholic. My name is Tony T. This is why I love this particular meeting here, People of Color at the Roundups. We are so relaxed. We can just be an alcoholic. We don't have to be any race, any whatever. We can just come here and just be normal alcoholics, and I really appreciate that. I'm going to tag on Gabrielle's. I'm working, doing a workshop after this one at 3:30. And it's called Gay AA History. And I got sober in New York, so I know a lot about history. So my mind is set on that. So a lot of people heard my qualifications and know I'm just a drunk who fell down and pissed all over myself. So it's no big deal. But I will talk about how this People of Color came about in living sober. I don't remember the year, but it used to be at Graham Auditorium, and there were several lesbians, I believe, like, I think Dolores was one who was Latina, and some lesbians from Oakland, and yours truly. We wanted to have a People of Color meeting, and the committee fought it very hard, because they said, well, we're just all alcoholics. And I says, yes. But I got sober in New York, and I says, we have special interest groups. We have groups for lesbians, groups for women, and people of color mean color. It does not mean Afro-American. I said we have Native Americans and Chinese and Korean and people of color around the world. India, Pakistan, they were beginning to get into sobriety. And somehow they kind of gave us a room. And I mean a room. It was on the ground floor because that's where the medics were stationed, the paramedics, and there was like one at each end of the long hall. And they gave us this little room, and it was standing room only. We were like sardines in a little room. And they gave it to us for about 2 years in a row, and we really complained. And they elevated us and gave us a larger closet. And after a couple of more years, then they gave us a regular workshop-type room. And the last 3 or 4 years, they started giving us the auditorium because they saw the attendance kept growing. And that's why I want to keep this going, so we can keep growing and growing and growing. I don't know what more to say. And do you remember the format? After us two qualify, then people will talk through the we'll raise a hand and we'll have a discussion. And near the end, that's where we will have our countdown. If that's wrong, anybody can correct me? Okay. So, I'm a grateful alcoholic. Good to see you all. Thank you for coming. Oh, you got your water? Okay. Show of hands and we'll just, like I said, I got sober in New York. I don't believe in hands. I point and just go around. Hi, you'll start off for us, please.
Hi, did you just point at me?
Yes.
Hi, my name is Kat. I'm alcoholic. I got to come up to the podium.
Let's go like you, please, because they're recording us. So you can buy the
recording us?
Yeah.
I didn't get permission to be recorded.
Oh, yes.
Hi, I'm Kata. I'm an alcoholic.
Hey,
can we turn the sound down? And it's good to be here. I didn't get to make it to the conference, but I really wanted to be here for the PLC countdown because I think it's important for me to remember how I got here. And I too, like Gabrielle, got sober in my first time around in Los Angeles, and it didn't stick. And so I did a geographical here to Northern California. And my sober date is October the 24th, 2001. And I like to say that it's been an easy road, but it has not been. And I really related to what Gabrielle said about relationships and death. I've had both of them through these 13 years of sobriety. And one thing that remains constant is the sobriety. I mean, I can be like on my knees, upset, crying, and that's another thing that happened in sobriety. I didn't cry when I got here. And until I started working on me, was I able to like get in touch with like my feelings. Like I really had feelings. I didn't have to be this badass person walking around with this armor and not allowing you to see my weaknesses or be vulnerable. Not to say that I'm completely, transparent today, but by the grace of God, I still keep trying to work on myself, and I stay open to learn more. And I'm a hard-headed person, so sometimes it takes me a little longer. But, the things that I remember to do, pray, go to meetings, work the steps, work with a sponsor, and be of service are keystones in recovery. And I know each time that I face something like really, well, when enough is enough, I'll say it like that, that's what I fall back on. So I'm grateful that the program continues to be here in spite of myself. So thank you.
Thank you.
Hi, my name is Greg. I'm an alcoholic. Greg. And I am so grateful that I got up this morning. Because I went to go see the fireworks last night, and it was just a lot of fog, and it was just fog, and that was it. But it was, you know, it was cute, though, because I went with some little boy, a grown man that I met. So what does that mean? So anyway, I'm grateful to be here. And I'm grateful to wake up clean and sober. You know, this is, I got clean and sober in 1919. That almost makes it sound like something happened. It was 1988. August the 4th, 1988 was my first. So 89 was my first conference that I came through. I remember walking by the building. I was like, oh my God, a people of color room. I had no idea what that meant. I was like, I don't know what that means, but there's a lot of black people in there. So, I was afraid and I didn't go in until the next year. I went in the following year, and I've actually come, every time I come to the conference, I come to it because, I love my people of color group here. I love my people of color meditation group, and I go to people of color AA group in Oakland, and the level of serenity is just fantastic, and I love it. You know, I like to be able to tell the truth and not feel like I'm going to be stabbed in the back somehow. You know what I mean? I really enjoy that feeling, and even though all my feelings are not always fun, you know, this conference is, this week has not been a great week, you know, and I kind of just use this as a regular meeting for myself. I'm not sure if other people use it as something else, but, so I was mad at all my girlfriends yesterday and today, like all of them. And, because I woke up lonely, I was mad at everyone, you know, And I still love all my lesbian friends. And, but I was just, you know, it's just my, all my own emotional feelings. But I got a chance to tell, you know, a few of them, you know, that I was angry because I felt like I needed some love. You know what I mean? It was weird. And, you know, but I feel like I can come here and get it. Like I can at least come here and say it out loud and not be ashamed of it. You know what I mean? Cause sometimes I'm just not 100% well, you know, I'm not, I don't put on airs really well. You know, I don't have a fake laugh. I can't do it. I don't know how to do it. You know, but when other people do it, it irritates me. You know what I mean? So I got my own issues that I've been working on for like 25 years. I'm almost, not almost, but sometimes I'm tired of working on all these new issues that I have in recovery. But I do have to say that I'm glad to actually be able to have them. I think you got, I've actually grown up in recovery too, and it's a great feeling. Like I have 25 years clean and sober, but I'm actually 25 years older. Like I'm actually an older person, and it's amazing. Shit just happens that I had no idea would happen. Like you forget stuff. I got to remember to get my keys, you know, just regular old basic stuff, you know, you gotta. So, you know, I'm glad I'm in recovery, because if I wasn't in recovery and I was just thinking the way that I think on a regular basis, I would be out in the street. And I don't even know how to be homeless. You know what I mean? I'm sure there's got to be rules of some sort. Anyway, I'm grateful to be here. I'm glad you guys are here. And I want to say, I think that next year, this is my question to myself, is I actually want to participate in this conference, because I participated in that we had a people of color conference one year, and that turned out great. But I don't want to do it to push the non people of color out. I want to do it because I think it's a great event. I actually think it's a nice event, and I want to be a part of it. I think I have some ideas that might actually help. There might need to be a layaway plan or something, you know, so people can afford to come to this damn thing. You know what I mean? Because I just think there needs to be more ideas, and I think I have some ideas, and I need to actually participate and join in, because at the rate we're going, it might not happen, and I want it to continue to happen, because I like to, like, you know, I have my friend that comes from L.A., and I only see him once a year, and it's here, and I appreciate that, and if we don't have this, I might not be able to see him, you know. So I want you guys to also consider that. I mean, just imagine if we all were on the committee for the conference next year. You know how ghetto fabulous that conference would be. It would just be fantastic, you know. So I just want to tell you guys, I'm glad you're here. Continue to tell the truth, because it's always worked for me. And I love my sponsor. I always have to say that, because I really love my sponsor. It's a great feeling when you love your sponsor. You know what I mean? Because I feel like I can trust her. And she won't give me no bullshit. Oh, it's fantastic. You know, all I got to do is be able to use that to my advantage. So thank you guys for being here. Thanks.
Good afternoon. My name is Greg, and I'm an alcoholic. You know, and it's always a pleasure and a privilege, and I'm truly blessed to be sober, and it's good to come to this conference. And I've been sober since my sobriety date is March 12, 1992. And I was 12-stepped over the phone into Alcoholics Anonymous. My brother, you know, he wanted so bad for me to get sober that he passed my number out in the rooms of to people in the rooms of Alcoholics Anonymous. And he gave my number to this big black queen. You know, and I live outside of Los Angeles and Orange County. There's not many of us there that are of color. And this guy called me, and he shared his experience, strength, and hope for me. And for the first time, I could listen, you know, and I detoxed at home, and I came into the rooms of Alcoholics Anonymous, and I've been able to stay here by the grace of God. And I came to my first Living Sober conference in 1992. And I remember being down there at the auditorium, and it was just a small group of African Americans, and I said, wow, you know, and I was just so amazed, and I was so touched. And even as I stand here before you today, you know, we're all beautiful people of all shades, all nationalities. I just feel that special connection when I'm in these rooms and I'm with, you know, my people, you know. And if you're here today, I'm truly glad to be here with you, and thanks.
I'm a grateful alcoholic and addict named Ben.
Hi, Ben.
And to tell you the truth, I'm thinking, I wish I sat in the back and on the other side. But by the grace of God, here I am. And, you know, when I got here, 2004 was my first conference. And I've always made it a point to be at the People of Colors meeting, because this is home for me, my family, you know. And when I walk the streets of San Francisco, not to say it's not my home, but it's a different footstep. It's a different path out in the streets of the Castro, because it's very rare that I see my color. But I'm an alcoholic, and I'm a grateful addict. When I got here, I had no hope. I had no hope at all. And it's in these rooms here in Alcoholics Anonymous that I found hope once again. And I was lost. And I was angry, and, you know, I still lie here and there. Shit, if you were to ask me how much I have in my pocket, I know I have $42.20. I'll probably tell you I have 100. But that's life, you know. And, again, the first conference it came to was 2004. And I've heard it over and over, and it's true for me, too. Life just keeps showing up, you know. And I want everybody out there, if they could get just a piece of this program, I don't know how they do it. How do they manage one day at a time, you know? And I have all of you to reach out to. I didn't even love myself when I got here, you know? And all of you here taught me how to love Ben, you know? They could have taught me, you know, I'm telling you, in college they didn't teach this. In graduate school they didn't teach me this. You taught me. You guys taught me how to love myself one day at a time. You didn't tell me to be perfect. You didn't tell me I have to be tall, blonde, rich, whatever. You just said I have to love myself, and it starts at home. And when I get on my knees, you know, and I thank the Lord every day that I get to be, I, that I, one, I got another day, and two, that I'm sober, and that I have love, unconditional love, every time I walk into this room. It's a gift, you know, and I don't take it for granted. I can't take it for granted because this is not the first time I got sober. You know, I definitely am a retread. But you know what? When I came back, you guys just wrapped that unconditional arms, those big arms around me, and you said, Ben, welcome home. You know, you didn't lock the door. You didn't say, pay a little in the till. You just took me in, you know, and I thank you for that. Because I don't know what the fuck I'm doing. I don't. It's the truth. I show up. I take your suggestions. And again, by the grace of God, I get another day. I'm a grateful alcoholic and addict named Ben.
My name's Danny. I'm an alcoholic and an addict. And I'm visiting from Honolulu. And I have to leave early because I really messed up. I didn't see this meeting in the program. It's like in the front part, but not under the workshop part. And I got some relatives driving in from Sacramento and Modesto picking me up at 3 o'clock. So I'm going to have to, Hawaiians, we say I have to head on out of here at 3 o'clock. I'm going to be sober 22 years next month. I turned 57 in April. And I can relate to the keys. You know, I got my cell phone in my hand. I'm like, where's my freaking phone? I can't find my phone. It's in my hand, you know. This aging shit really is horrible. You know, and I see people in here that I've seen, Dolores, and I see Tony, too, in Honolulu when he comes to our conference. You know, I need to thank you folks because I came here when I was sober about 5 years my first time. And I had no clue what POC meant when we were talking about earlier. Somebody was mentioning it earlier. My first comment, somebody said, are you going to go to the POC meeting? I'm like, what's POC? What does that mean? I don't know what the people of color was, you know? Because I am, all my life, I wanted to be white. In Hawaii, we call them haoles. Because where I grew up, you know, I'm Hawaiian, I'm Portuguese, Puerto Rican, and we're crazy people. And my whole family is all dysfunctional and drug addicts and alcoholics. But there was this white family on my street. And I used to go to their house, and their house was like the perfect house. Plates wasn't flying. The mom was baking cookies. And she even, okay, Hawaiians were very poor, okay? I didn't know that you made hot chocolate with hot milk. My mom then boiled water, cocoa, the powder, and freaking cream from the can. You know, that was all hot chocolate. And this white lady was boiling milk. And she put marshmallows inside. I was like 12 years old and I was in heaven. I said, so this is how white people live, man. I'm missing out on this shit. So all my life I grew up wanting to be white and straight. I hated myself for being gay. And then I came to this people of color meeting. I was sober 5 years and I had the most awesome spiritual awakening while I sat in that meeting. And there's some of you here that were there when I came the first time when I was sober 5 years, Dolores. And it's amazing because, you know, today I'm so happy to be brown and I'm so happy to be gay. It's just amazing what 22 years has, you know, staying sober all this time has done for me. But like you were saying, this aging stuff is like horrible, you know, and I'm also single. And I feel like this old fart now because, you know, I was married for a long time. I came out of the closet at a late age. And, you know, gay guys are like, if you're over 25, you're like 100 years old. So I feel like I'm like 200 years old, you know. And me and my buddies, they took me out last night for dinner out in the Castro. And I'm like in heaven, you know, in Hawaii. I live in a small, small town called Kaneohe on Oahu. And there's like maybe 5 gay people on the whole side of the island. So when I come here, I'm like, I think if I was here, I'd turn into the biggest slut. You know, because I've never seen so many gorgeous men in my life when I come to San Francisco. You know, in Hawaii, I'm very closeted with my business and it's a whole other issue. I own a very successful company back home and it's not as, I get friends up here telling me, Danny, so who gives a shit if they know about you? Trust me, I've lost business over this gay thing, so I'm very cautious of what I do with my business back home. and to be here and just to be see open and free, I cannot tell you folks how wonderful it is. I'm like about 90% out of the closet back home. I'm getting real close. Several of my employees that have, I own a real estate company in Hawaii. And one of the first things I tell them now is if they're okay working for a gay owner. I never would say that before because I got into problems with an agent about a year ago over the gay issue. Then I had to let her go. But I'm almost 100% comfortable. And after 22 years, I'm still working on this crap with my sponsor. You know, it's like, how can I not be comfortable with being gay? I tell people that I'm comfortable, but at the same time, it's just an issue. It's a working process for me. But because I have to leave early, I wanted to tell you folks, thank you so much for having this meeting. You folks don't know how much you've helped people like me that come here. They come from small towns that are not white, that are of color. And I know what POC means now. You know, I never knew what that was before. And we have a lot of POC people in Hawaii. So I try and take the message back to them. And I tried getting a POC meeting at a Aloha Roundup this past February. And just like 70% of the people that are there are POC people. So they said, you know, Danny, we can't get a spread. I said, yeah, whatever. Just leave it then. It's cool. But anyway, I just want to thank you folks because I feel bad that I cannot be here. Like I said, I'm going to be 22 years next month for the countdown because I don't want my family to be waiting for me in the car outside. And I figure, you know, you guys, I've been around here a long time. So I just want to thank you guys so much, but I have to leave early. So thank you.
Mahalo, Daniel. Will someone tell me, be a timekeeper and tell me when it's like on the half hour so we can start the countdown and have enough time for everybody? Thank you.
My name is Dolores. I'm an alcoholic. I came here today with someone who's fairly new in the program, and I was telling her that we had to come to this workshop. And one of the things she said, you know, she said, I don't know anybody. And I remember in 1985 when I came to my first Living Sober, I didn't know anybody either. And there was this wonderful Puerto Rican woman named Margarita. Yes. That when I walked in the doors and she saw how scared I was, she grabbed me by the hand and she said, and I told her my name, and she says, are you a Latina? I said, yes, I'm Mexican. And she said, good. And she grabbed me, and she dragged me all over the conference and introduced me to every person of color at that conference. And in those days, we were 5,000 strong. I mean, it was huge, and it was frightening. But, you know, I wanted to invoke her name today and her memory because she helped so many people. And one of the things Margarita would always say is that as we see each other in the hallway during the conference, don't forget to stop and hug each other and say hello and establish eye contact because sometimes we get scared and we need to hang on to each other. So I'm just going to ask you to do that as you're here this weekend when we see each other in the hallway. Don't miss an opportunity to love each other because it's very, very important. You know, I've been sober a long time, and one of the beautiful things about being sober a long time is you get to watch people come in, you know, and Danny's responsible for my first tattoo when I went to Hawaii, you know, got me to a great tattoo artist. And, you know, the beautiful thing is that when we make friends here is that these friendships last for a lifetime. They don't go away, you know, and I've had the opportunity to serve on several of the committees and served as the chair here 1 year, and I have to say that I'm so glad to hear people talking about the idea of getting involved because the conference is suffering. As a matter of fact, we don't even have a location for next year's conference. It's not guaranteed. We are struggling. And it's all of our responsibility. If we want to see Living Sober be here next year, those of us that live here locally, we have a responsibility. You know, the people that came before me, people like Margarita, and there was Wayne, and there was Larry D, and all those people that came before us, you know, they took the time and energy, and they made the commitment to get involved, and there were other people. So I encourage you, if you're thinking about that, you know, if you want to have your voice heard, then be a part of, and just take a small job, not a big thing, but take a small job. It doesn't take a lot, you know, just like when you go to a meeting, you know, if one person does the coffee and one person sets up the chairs and one person secretaries the meeting and somebody does the literature, it all happens. Well, that's how this conference happens. It happens a little by bits and pieces, but the work has to be done. You know, I'm grateful for the Fellowship of Alcoholics Anonymous, and I'm so grateful that when I moved across the bay and landed in Oakland, I found the Fellowship of Alcoholics Anonymous in Oakland, and it is amazing. You know, and I've just started to make my way back to the POC on Saturday, where I see a whole new generation of people there. You know, the new ones with fire in their belly. You know, and I love that. Because that's what keeps me young. You know, like some of people have said, I'm getting to that age where I forget shit ever all the time, you know. It's like, why am I here? You know? And I need that youthful enthusiasm, you know. I need it because that's what's gonna keep me alive and keep me sane, you know. And one of my sponsees is here today, and his sponsee is here, and so we're gonna go to dinner tonight. The family is going to dinner. That's one of the things I love about this program, is that love and service is our code, right? I'm so privileged to be able to sponsor men and women in this program. And I sponsor a lot of people of color because I know what it's like to feel different and to feel awkward. You know, I already feel different because I'm alcoholic. I already feel different because I'm a lesbian. And then I feel different because I'm a Latina. Or because maybe my education, I don't have an advanced education. I can find a million reasons to feel different. But here in the rooms of Alcoholics Anonymous is like, I'm just like everybody else. And I feel safe and I feel loved. So thank you for being here.
Hi, everyone. I'm an alcoholic, and my name is Lauren. My heart is pounding. I don't know why my heart is pounding. I didn't get sober in L.A. I got drunk in L.A., so I'm from L.A. And that was just reminding me, oh, yeah, Greg's Blue Dot, 6 o'clock in the morning. I remember that. And I got sober in Palo Alto with the nice blue-haired ladies. And I didn't know that there was even a people of color meeting. I came to my first living sober in 1993. My sobriety date is, my first living sober, I was not yet sober. Okay, so that was that whole think I am, try to be, not working for me. And I did not go to the People of Color meeting in 1993, but I did in 1994. My sobriety date is October 30th, 1993. So in 1994, being sober, I saw this thing called POC, and I said out loud, what is the POC meeting? Margarita was wheeling herself up right by, and she's, oh, mijita, that's People of Color. I said, oh, gracias. And then she looked at me. Gracias. Yeah. Soy media mexicana, media china. And she was, oh, you have to come. You're two. You know, so I showed up, and even though I had been going to meetings, even though I had my sponsor, I was getting sober, I didn't recognize my own difference, nor did I recognize how, even though I was an alcoholic, I was still just like half a step back from everyone else. Because their experience, okay, we all got drunk for the same reason, because we like to get drunk, because we don't want to feel what our feelings were. That I could relate to. But there were so many things I couldn't relate to because it wasn't my background. And then I came to this room. And then I realized that, no, my race doesn't keep me apart unless I want it to. And for the first time, I didn't let it. Even when I didn't realize I had. I mean, I had been doing that. And this is my People of Color meeting. My one and only. I'm in the South Bay. You know what it's like trying to drive up 880 on a Saturday morning? God, no, it's not going to happen. There are a handful of Latinos in my meetings. If I'm lucky, you know, oh, it's Lauren and Karen, the other Asian, you know, that then we're pretty much it. So sometimes when I speak at a meeting, I speak only as an alcoholic. It's a big part of who I am. And that's the thing that everybody in that room can relate to. But I can't speak about the microaggressions that happen at work that make me uncomfortable in my own skin, or make me comfortable in my skin and mad at them in their skin. And, you know, I can't talk about some of the, you know, it's, there are not a lot of gay meetings in the South Bay. You know, and so like Dolores was saying, I'm, you know, a Chinese, Mexican, lesbian into kinky sex. Where are my people? You know? So you folks are the closest thing I got. Okay. So you that's how that is. And last year I'm gonna say something that I wanted to say last year that I did not say last year. I've had some time in the program, and a couple of years ago I had a pretty bad breakup relationship, and that's the first time in recovery that I wanted to pick up. I didn't. Left to my own devices, I would have. I was that close. You know, and somehow, I don't know what made me think that after like year 15, 16, or 17, that I had so much sobriety that it was, this was never going to be a fucking problem again. I was talking out of my ass. It will always be a problem. And it was, in some ways, I'm grateful that that happened because I recognized how much I was taking my sobriety for granted. And I was being complacent in my work. And I was being complacent with my sponsees. I was not talking to my sponsor as much as I should have been. I was not going to as many meetings as I should have been, should have. I needed a kick in my ass, and I got it. And I hate that. And this program always kicks me in my ass when I need it. And I hate that. But I love it, too. I guess that makes me a masochist. I mentioned that kinky sex part, right? So we all covered that already. But I want to thank you guys for being here, because you really don't know necessarily how important this is for people like me or for Danny. You know, I don't live in a small town on an island. I live in a small suburb surrounded by Google, which is kind of the same thing as being on an island, actually. And I have to reach out to people that I connect with. And if it happens to be the blue-haired lady, great. But I love it when it's you people. You know, when it's my people, whatever my people are. So thank you.
So we've made an executive decision that the next meeting is at 3:30, which is an Al-Anon meeting, and we'd like to go until at least 3:15, and then we'll promptly leave the room so they can start filing in. So maybe we could have more people share and sort of like abbreviate the shares so more can share.
Wow. My name is Celeste. I'm an alcoholic. Hey, everybody. Hey, family. Thank you so much, Tony. Thank you, Gabrielle. And thank you. I just had to come up here because coming to the POC meeting for me is like coming home. And I've been coming to Living Sober for many, many years. And through the grace of God and Alcoholics Anonymous, I have 26 years of recovery. You know, and that's a hallelujah, you know. And most of the time I would make it down to Living Sober, and y'all remember, for those of you in your recovery who were down at the Civic Center, you know, it was a whole different vibe. It was a whole different time. And I don't want to get stuck on that because I believe in living in the present. there was something very special about living sober, and it was something very special about our meetings back then. And thank you so much. I was thinking, who was that brother who used to just pull you into the meeting of color? That was Wayne. If you were walking by and you were a person of color, in you went. You know, that's how we did it, you know, because we wanted to be together and saw the value of that. And another thing we did is we used to take a walk and we would go eat together, you know. That wasn't just enough to spend that time together at the meeting. We would then march down the street, down to Powell's restaurant and have us some soul food. And that was also special moments that we shared together, you know, because we loved to eat together. And it was just so validating. And for me, living in Northern California, where I choose to live, you know, there are not that many of us up there in Santa Rosa. And I got sober up there in Santa Rosa, and I was that desperate. You know, if you're that desperate, you'll get sober. And it does not matter who those people are in the meetings. I got sober because I had nowhere else to go, and I was that desperate, and I had hit that last bottom. And I wanted sobriety because I was hopeless, I was desperate, and I was a low-bottom drunk. And, you know, I didn't get invited out to coffee like a lot of the other people in recovery. I didn't get the phone numbers in my early recovery like some of the other folks in the meeting. But I wanted this program so badly, and I needed it so badly. Those other people did not matter. I knew I had a seat in this room. I knew I had a seat in Alcoholics Anonymous, and I knew it was here that I found hope. And I got a life that is beyond my wildest dreams on some of my best days. And so I stayed, and I kept coming back. And now it's a whole different story. You get a little time, you change your life, you get a power greater than yourself, and people start looking at you differently. But the thing is, this program is an amazing program. I love Alcoholics Anonymous, and I have some holes in my program right now, but I know how to fill them. And one of the ways to fill them is to come to meetings, to come to Living Sober, and to be around my peeps. So thank you very much.
Hey, everybody. I'm Michelle. I'm a grateful recovering alcoholic. Hey, Michelle. And my sobriety date is November 15th, 1998. And I wanted to come here because the POC meeting and the POC meeting at Living Sober is also like home for me, except for I don't get beat up. But home, it's a different kind of home than I had when I was growing up. And I love seeing everybody. I love seeing, like, Danny and people that don't live. And I live in Oakland, so people that I don't see in Oakland regularly. And for me, POC gatherings were important because I'm from the East Coast, and when I moved to California, I'm really Black identified, and culturally it was so different for me being in California. And I needed to see people that look like me. And you know, when I was going to meetings, and I'd go to the gay and lesbian meetings, and the stuff that people were talking about, I didn't know what they were talking about. Their cultural references were different. When they were talking about the women and the way they dated and stuff like that, I didn't relate to it. I didn't get it. It wasn't my story. And I just felt more isolated, just like I did, you know, outside of AA. And I also didn't get phone numbers, I saw people getting invited, or then I felt like when people were giving me their numbers, they had some other kind of agenda. But I really needed to be around people that also understood what it was like dealing with racism. I drank a lot around different you know, different, just the emotions and how to deal with racism. I didn't know how to deal with it. And, I would say a lot of the stuff in my family that I experienced was result of racism. And I would talk with people, like white people in meetings, and then get the confused looks or people being really defensive and saying, but that's not me, and the civil rights has passed, and all that kind of stuff. And that wasn't really what I was dealing with. And going to POC meetings helped me. I could hear people that were dealing with the same kind of stuff, and they still managed to stay sober. And it was fine for me to keep, you know, go to other meetings. I always go to other non-POC meetings. But to have someone that where we talk about one alcoholic talking to another, it was one POC talking to another and having that experience in common and saying, this is how I dealt with it. And, or just listen and say, oh, I know, honey, I know what you feel like. And they really understood. And, I'm really grateful. I saw a newcomer yesterday and I was hoping she was going to be here. I gave her my number. Maybe I'll try to find her. And I hope we keep having Living Sober. It's always, special. I didn't come last year. I had a breakup last year and I also lost my grandmother at this time last year. And, it was really painful, but I'm grateful to be here and see you guys. So I hope we keep continuing the POC gathering. Thanks.
Thanks for listening. I hope you enjoyed the podcast. Sobercast is ad-free, and we'd like your help in order to keep it that way. So if you'd like to help us be self-supporting by pledging $1 or $2 a month, visit Sobercast.com and look for the donate links. Thank you very much.